ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central.
Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go.
This is Sports Central.
Go.
On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome in, Sports Central. Happy Friday, February 16th, 2018. You can find the show on iTunes and Google. If you miss it live, find the podcast, search WGN Sports Central. We're on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. Instagram is the same handle. Our phone number is 312-235-2525 if you'd like to chime in. We're going to start the show today with some college basketball talk, starting to inch towards that part of the calendar. So, Joe, let's jump right in with our lead.
Two-point game. Under 30 seconds left. Kayvon Allen with the drive. Can't quite hit. Kevarious Hayes with the putback. But it's waved off because of goaltending. Take another look. So the Ramblers still up by two. And they would go on to win this one 65-59.
So that was a SportsCenter highlight from back in December, December 6th. I remember, man, I must have been doing something with football at that point. But I remember like late that night following Twitter and seeing, man, Loyola's hanging with Florida here. And they end up winning the game. Florida was ranked fifth in the country at that time. The head coach of the Loyola Ramblers joins us now, Porter Moser. They're in the middle of a fantastic season right now. Coach, thanks for joining us today on Sports Central. You guys are on a heck of a run.
Hey, thanks for having me, Adam. I appreciate it.
So tell us, for those of, I'm sure there's a lot of local fans here that might be jumping on the bandwagon a little bit this time of year. You guys have a real shot to make the NCAA tournament. So for those of us that maybe haven't been following all season long, tell us a little bit about your basketball team.
First of all, Adam, there is a ton of room on our bandwagon, so please have people jump on. We totally want that. And, you know, it's been a process of building a culture here. You know, when we got the job here, we were last place in the Horizon, and then we jumped into the Missouri Valley, which is a huge, another jump. And over the last 4 years, you know, we've won 80 games the last 4 years. That's averaging 20 a year for 4 years. And this year, you know, we're poised. We have 3 games left. We currently sit at the top of the Valley, but it's just how we're doing it that I love. I mean, we got awesome kids. One of the top graduation rates, us and Harvard in the country, and we're doing it, in my opinion, the right way. And I love this team. I mean, they're fun to watch. They share the ball. We got 5 guys averaging in double figures, and that's hard to do in this day and age. But it's a really fun team to watch, and I love coaching them because they play their tails off every night.
And you had to replace Milton Doyle. How have you guys been able to do that and still have the success that you've had? And I'm sure you just sort of touched on it there. When you got 5 guys averaging double figures, that has to help.
You know, when I got the job, we were Loyola of Chicago. We had no Illinois kids, much less Chicago kids. And Milton was the first that just said, you know what, let's do this. And he's, you know, helped us to get Dante Ingram and some other guys. And Milt was a big part of our culture and you know, his development. You know, he had a great career here, and now he's with the Brooklyn Nets. But, for us then, all of a sudden, there was a little bit of an uncertainty how we were going to play without Milt because he had it so much. But what we've done it is by committee. You know, Clayton Custer has stepped up. Clayton's going to be up for the Larry Bird Trophy for the Player of the Year in our league. You know, Dante Ingram's had a fantastic career. He's having an all-league type of year. Cameron Kretwig from Jacobs High School is one of the top freshmen in our league, much less players, and he's having a great year. So we've got a lot of different pieces, and I think that's, you know, having depth at this level is huge because it's different guys, different nights. But we've kind of done it by committee, losing Milt.
Now, you're in your 7th year at Loyola now, and we're talking to Porter Moser here about his fantastic Loyola Ramblers team that has a chance to actually clinch a share of the Missouri Valley Conference this weekend. And you're local. You're from Naperville. It's got to be pretty cool to be coaching in the area that you grew up in.
You know, I'm very blessed. The good Lord is blessed me. I grew up a Catholic kid in Chicago, like you said, in the Naperville area. I went to Bennett Academy and then played my college ball and got my business degree at Creighton, another Jesuit school. Coached with Rick Majerus at St. Louis, a Jesuit school. And for me to be this is a trifecta for me. I'm coaching at a Jesuit school in the Missouri Valley, the league I played at, and in Chicago, where I'm from. So it's a perfect fit for me, and it's been such a grind and a passion of mine to get this program where it's at. I love Chicago sports. I'm a fanatic Cubs, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks fan, and just to be able to be here and try to advance this program to be relevant. And that's why I said there's tons of room on the bandwagon. It's fun to see people get excited. It's fun to walk into the Norville Center and see all the TV crews there. It just hasn't happened here in 35 years. And, we have one more home game, Illinois State, next 1 o'clock next Saturday. It's going to be our final home game, and we're hoping for a sellout. A great program in Illinois State, and they got a great fan base here in Chicago, and just I hope that's a sellout for us here.
Well, Coach, you're talking to another guy that grew up in the Catholic ranks. I went to St. Ignatius here in Chicago.
Great school.
We used to play Loyola Academy at the Gentile Center, but that was back before you guys made it all nice and fancy. How much has that upgrade helped you guys? Because I unfortunately haven't been there yet. I need to get out there. Maybe I'll come to that last game. But I've heard from so many people, including Jeff Dickerson, who I cover the Bears with, is always raving about that place you guys are playing your home games in now.
Adam, first of all, I'm leaving you tickets.
Okay.
I'm leaving you tickets, and I'm going to check to see if you get them. You gotta come check it out. It could be. I've been saying this. When we first got the job, if we ever fill this thing consistently, it'll be one of the best college venues. It holds 5,000. It's right on top of you. It's a complete bowl around the court right on top of you. Then they just put in like $1.2 million of video boards.
Wow.
The sound system is awesome. They moved the student section on the side, like Michigan State and Duke, to where they're right there on the court. And we've had the best student involvement in like 20 years. And it's a fun place to play. And I think the more and more people get in there, it can be a home court advantage. But it definitely, in this world of college athletics, people seem to, they like the bells and whistles. I mean, people keep upgrading their locker rooms, their weight rooms, everything is about recruiting and upgrading. And what our arena has done is it's on campus, so it's easy access for everyone to get to. And it's not too big to where you can walk a recruit in and say, yeah, I play in a 12,000-seat arena, but they get 3,000. This, if you feel this thing is so loud, and I think it's an awesome venue that we can really create culture year after year here and have kids want to stay home and play here.
Well, it was a great atmosphere just for our high school games when we got those two rivals together. So I can only imagine.
Did you play in it before they did the bowl, or is it before the renovation or after?
Yeah, it was before the renovation. So I assume it's got to be so much better now.
Oh, it's not even close. I mean, back then it was like a high school. It just had like the bleachers on one side and then the wall on the other.
Yeah.
Now they switched the length of the court, and it's a bowl. It's a complete bowl all the way around the court.
All right, well, I got it on my calendar. February 24th, 1 p.m. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so what was it like, Coach? We're talking to Porter Moser here from Loyola. What was it like coaching under Rick Majerus?
It was awesome. I mean, I learned so much from him. It was... everyone always told me about, like, when I was going to go work for, like, Porter, you got to really watch out, man. He's a grinder. He's going to work you to the bone. And that never bothered me. I grew up working hard. I grew up, in the profession working hard. I was a head coach. And the hardest part, the very hardest part working for Coach Majerus, it was he didn't have a family, and I had four kids. And we'd get done with practice, like, 6:30 and 7, and be like, hey, Porter, let's go grab a bite to eat. And a bite to eat with Coach wasn't like a bite to eat with you and I. It was an event. It was a 3.5-hour event going to dinner, and that was the hard part.
Yeah.
And now I look back on it, I give my right arm to have one of those dinners with him, because I love the man. He meant so much to my family. He was unbelievable to my wife and kids, and he was just a savant. And he saw the game differently than everybody, and I learned so much from him and the culture of what we're doing here. And I'll be honest with you, he was a big part of the reasons why I am here, because, I was with him and I had turned down a couple other jobs. And when Loyola came open, he's like, Porter, if you can get that, you got to go. He's like, you've been a Catholic kid from Chicago. That's a place where you can build something. And he was really high on Chicago and the Loyola situation for me.
Now, you're in your fifth year in the Missouri Valley Conference. What was that transition like for the program, and how much has it helped the program?
It was a very hard transition, because if you look back in 5 years ago when all the conference realignment was happening, and if you take the schools that moved up a level, like we moved up, if you look at some of the other schools that moved up, not laterally, not like a Pittsburgh going to the ACC or Syracuse, that's a lateral move. But you talk about moving up. You talk about programs like Butler moved up to the Big East. Xavier, Butler's Final Fours. Xavier moved up. Perennial Elite Eights. Creighton moved up. Tons of NCAA tournaments. Davidson moved up. Sweet 16. George Mason moved up. They went to a Final Four. Loyola moved up. We had two winning seasons in 30 years. So the program was not, the infrastructure, everything wasn't ready to move up. And now the university and the commitment we're making and is moving in that direction. That's why I really think sustainability here. And definitely it's helped. I think it's helped our fan base. I think it's helped recruiting. I think it's helped the level of everything. And I'm biased towards the Missouri Valley because I played in it. Mm-hmm. But it's a great basketball league. I love college football. I love it. My brother-in-law played at Penn State. But I love college basketball. I love being at a school that doesn't have football. And the conference has basketball is the main focus. And the fan bases in these programs are knowledgeable, are passionate. And it's just, and there's a reason why. I mean, think about it. Out of 31 Division I conferences, the RPI of the Valley this year is 8. So people say that mid-major, if they're doing their math, it's right around 15. We're above that line. And I just love the league, and I think it's really helped our program and our university.
Do you guys have any chance at getting an at-large berth to the tournament if you don't win the conference tournament? I mean, obviously you want to do that to make it easy, but I guess I haven't followed it close enough to know if you guys have that opportunity too.
Well, we got a lot of work to do. I mean, we got 3 regular season games left, and we're in a tournament to where this league is so balanced that, you know, you're going to have, obviously if you win the league, you get a bid, but you're going to have to at least get to that championship game. And that's going to be very hard this year because anybody can beat anybody. I mean, Valparaiso, which we just had a very, very tough game with, is sitting at 10th place, which is incredible because I think they're very good. Matt Loddick's doing a great job over there. And they've beaten the number 2, 3, and 4 teams in our league. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. And you're looking at the preseason number 1 and 2 teams were Missouri State and Northern Iowa. They could finish in the bottom 4 this year.
Wow.
That means that we could be playing one of those teams the first night, you know, if they win their first game. And so I think we got a chance. I think we've got some really good road wins. We've run at Florida. We won at Northern Iowa when their RPI was 49. We won at Illinois State when they were a top 100 team. They still are. We won at Drake when they were 88. And so we've had a lot of road games that we've won. We won at Valpo. I still think we got some big games ahead of us. I've tried to not get ahead of ourselves and talk a lot about it. And if the time comes to where we're in that conversation, I'll really start selling a lot of facts. You know, you always hear on Selection Sunday people say, oh, this program, you know, you got to take in consideration they didn't have their top players for 5 games. And you hear them talk about that on Selection Sunday. And, you know, the fact of the matter is our player of the year candidate, Clayton Custer, missed 5 games. We were 2-3 in those games. And when he's played, we're 20-2. Wow. We're 20-2 in the games he played. And, you know, he's a terrific player, and so I haven't really talked about it with our guys. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Our whole focus is on Evansville, and we've been kind of doing a one-game-at-a-time deal. But when the time comes, if we're in that conversation, I'll get out my politician's hat and really, really pump up Loyola for trying to get an at-large bid.
Well, I had the opportunity to go through an actual mock selection committee thing down in Indianapolis like probably 5 or 6 years ago now, but that's something they do talk about down there. So that does matter when you're missing a player for some key games, and they will factor that in. Some opportunities here to check out the Ramblers. Next couple games are on ESPN3. You mentioned your final home game next Saturday, February 24th. That game's also on ESPN2, though, and then once you get into the tournament, the conference tournament, a lot of these games on NBC Sports Chicago and, of course, the championship on CBS. So plenty of opportunities to check out the Ramblers here in the next few weeks as they make a run for the NCAA tournament. And, Coach, probably the easiest question I can ask you, but just what would a tournament berth mean for Loyola University?
I mean, that's what your goal is. I mean, we talked about 4 years ago when we got into the CBI tournament. It was the first postseason that Loyola's been in 30 years. And it wasn't the NCAA tournament, but it was just giving us experience. And we got in the tournament and won the tournament. And I even said there, our ultimate goal is to be in the NCAA tournament and make an impact in that. And so it's what you're shooting after. To tell you firsthand from a player, it's something that connects your university and the student body and your team forever. So, and you watch what Northwestern did. It was great to see what they did last year. The city got completely behind them, and we've been telling our guys all summer and fall, why not us? Why not us? And it would mean a tremendous amount. But again, we've been really trying to not think like that. But you baited me, Adam, and I answered it.
well, hey, Coach, we're excited for your success, and I'm a local guy here. I love basketball, and we're behind you. I think you said it perfectly. This city will rally around its local teams
for
around these times, and so I imagine you might even be willing to drive a bus of fans down to St. Louis here if it takes that to get you guys' support, because I imagine it's going to start to build here.
You know, I did that for Valpo a couple weeks ago. I bought a bus for the students, and a busload of students came to Valpo and rooted us on to win. And I'm all in, man. I'll do anything to get this thing going. And I just hope people come out and see us. It's a fun team to watch. It's a great venue. And next Saturday, the 24th, 1 o'clock, will be our final home game for people to come out. And I really appreciate you having me on, Adam.
Oh, thank you so much, Coach.
All right, take care.
Porter Moser, the head coach at Loyola University. First time I've had a chance to talk to him, but I've heard multiple times that he's a great guy to have a conversation with, and that proved true. Jeff Dickerson's always telling me, gotta talk to Coach Moser. Love that guy.
Yeah, man. Easy to get behind for sure. No doubt about it.
And yeah, Jesuit school, local school. That'd be a lot of fun. I'm trying to get to that game, Knicks. You want to go? February 24th?
Sure.
Saturday, 1 o'clock, Illinois State. I do want to see that arena.
We should go with Kevin, dude.
Oh, good. Fear the Bird.
Yeah, versus...
Fear the Rambler.
The Blurs. I think that's what... have you met Bennett? Bennett Wakenight?
Yeah.
He's a Loyola alum.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Station trip.
Let's do it.
Let's get everyone involved here. Well, look, Loyola has deserved the attention here so far this season. We wanted to get Porter Moser on the show, and I imagine we'll hear from him again before this is all said and done in March. But that game is February 24th, next Saturday against Illinois State. We'll take a quick time out here. Kevin Powell's out at Camelback Ranch in the new WGN radio booth out there. So Kevin's going to join us, has some good stuff from Sox camp, and we'll take a quick break. Be right back here on Sports Central.
Yeah, welcome to WGA!
Chicago's sports conversation. This is Sports Central with Adam Hogue.
Welcome back on Sports Central, WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app. Phone number 312-235-2525. If you'd like to chime in, talk some baseball here. It is that time of year. Cubs and White Sox out in Arizona. Some other things coming up on the show a little bit later. Our own, used to be our own, Sam Panionovich. He moved out to Vegas, is working for the VSiN Network now. He's going to jump on and talk a little bit of the odds for Cubs and Sox, win totals, and some of the other teams in town, too. And the Anthony Rizzo speech from last night in Parkland, Florida, is must-listen-to radio as well. So we will play that for you a little bit later on in the program as well. Adam Hogue here on Sports Central, and Kevin Powell is out in Arizona. Kevin, are you there?
I am, guys. Right. How you doing?
So Kevin Powell is at Camelback Ranch in the WGN radio booth.
That's right. Yeah, it's quite the view. It's pretty cool to obviously thrilled about the partnership. So, posting up here. Got the old Comrex unit. Plug it in and dial in with you guys, and I'll be on with Ro later. I'm here through Tuesday. So, it's pretty cool. Really excited about the partnership. And if anybody's interested in the spring training broadcast schedule, it's up at WGNRadio.com. You can see when you can hear at Farmer and Darren Jackson right here on WGN. The first game is not this Friday, next Friday against the Dodgers, 2:05 first pitch.
Yeah, hard to believe. White Sox baseball.
I know.
A week from today on WGN.
Yeah, it's crazy. Look, you grew up a White Sox fan, and the Sox have been on GN before, but of course GN and the Cubs were synonymous with each other. I never thought I'd see the day, because I grew up a diehard Sox fan, and GN was always like, oh, that's the Cubs station. Well, things change, and now it's the White Sox station, and I can't believe it, and I can't believe I'm here at Camelback Ranch and covering all of this. So very exciting for me and for the whole station as well.
Well, it is really cool, because I did grow up a Sox fan, but my parents also always listened to WGN growing
up.
So
same.
It was
like in the DNA of Chicago. Same with me. It was my dad's a GN junkie. Always has been. He has like WGN swag from years. Yeah. You know, the Spike Odell hat and things like that. So yeah, that's another aspect to it, which is super cool.
Well, so I mean, if there's anyone a little bit more excited than me, it's my dad. You know, diehard Sox fan, season ticket holder who loves WGN too. So a lot of people are excited. We are too. White Sox on WGN.
Hey, real quickly, I really enjoyed your interview with Coach Moser. Great stuff.
Thank you.
But I heard your chat towards the end there. I was planning on going with my old idiot college buddies who are still diehard Redbird fans next Saturday. So if you guys are in, I was planning on going. And I'm all in on Loyola. I'm happy for them. It's been a great season. But when they're playing my Redbirds, you know who I'm going with.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, I mean.
But how could you not root for the local team? Of course I am. But in the tournament, and he's right, Missouri Valley basketball is fun. There's a lot of passionate fans. I used to cover the Arch Madness, which is their conference tournament in St. Louis every year, and it's a great time. It's a lot of fun.
So what's going on at Camelback today?
Well, we did, and I know you mentioned the Anthony Rizzo speech last night, which it is must listen. I think it's 4 or 5 minutes long. You will get goosebumps. What a crazy week it's been, just in general, right? Locally, what happened with Commander Bauer, and then, of course, the shooting in Florida. You know, being out here, the news with that, this is not even on par with it. I'm just saying it's just been a ride of crazy emotions this week for us and for everybody. Rizzo leaves camp 2 days ago to fly home to Parkland. He gives the speech last night, and we're not going to play the full 4 or 5 minutes, but Joe, if you've got it queued up here, here's a little snip from Rizzo's speech last night at the Candlelight Vigil, which was honoring the victims of the Douglas High shooting.
I went to Stoneman Douglas. I grew up in Stoneman Douglas. I played on those fields. I went to those classes. I studied in those classrooms. The same school we saw in videos yesterday for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's Rizzo obviously getting very emotional there, and it's hard not to just get emotional yourself when you're listening to that. But to see a grown man, professional athlete, tearing up in front of a huge mass of people, it's devastating.
Yeah,
it really is.
We'll play the whole thing a little bit later on in the show. But it's powerful stuff. And do we know when he's planning on coming back to Arizona?
They said expected sometime next week. It's so early in camp. In the cups that just take as much time as you want.
I mean, he's at the point in his career where he can miss a week of spring training and be just fine.
You know, keep in mind, Chris Bryant went through something very similar to this just months ago.
Yeah, in his hometown of Vegas.
His hometown, his sister-in-law, I believe, and some friends were at the concert. So, maybe those guys can lean on each other a little bit. Brian said, of course he's there for Rizzo. So, devastating stuff. So, anyways, I'm here at Sox camp talking. We're in the clubhouse for a little bit. I'm talking to Zach Collins, which is their top catching prospect, first round pick from a couple of years ago. He's from Florida. Right now, he resides in Plantation, Florida, which is about 20 minutes south of Parkland, so very close. Anyways, we got to talking about it, and he has some really close friends that were impacted directly from the shootings.
That's just insane. A bunch of my friends know a bunch of the victims, and it's just sad that kids can't go to school and feel safe nowadays, and teachers and stuff like that. But obviously some sort of change needs to happen, and I have a young sister who's a freshman in high school. It's crazy to know that some kids were put in that situation. It's now they're going to think about it every time they go to school. It's scary.
So you have friends and family that directly impacted by this?
I do, yeah. A couple of my friends who played baseball there, their friends were a couple of victims, and it's just sad.
It's devastating. Adam, you have a son. What's this been like for you? I mean, I guess we can all relate. I have nieces and nephews and things like that, but it is getting to the point where I guess it's always in the back of your mind, right? I mean, as horrible as that is to say, it kind of is.
Kev, I talked about this a little bit at the end of the show yesterday. I've never been afraid to talk about it on our sports shows here on WGN when these things happen, because I'm sorry, it's just more important. And It was tough putting my 3.5-year-old on a school bus yesterday.
Yeah.
And today he doesn't have school because of parent-teacher conferences, and it was easier to wake up today. Like, that's just the reality of... And it'll wear off. I mean, you know, next week it'll be fine. And
yeah, but I hope it doesn't.
Well,
in some ways, you know what I mean? Like, it's a cycle, and people keep talking about that. And Rizzo talked about that in his speech. I mean, in some ways, you do just want to go on with your life, but in some ways, you know, and Colin said that. He goes, from now on, those kids, they have to go back to school eventually. I mean, what's life like going to be like for kids who are a part of that? In that school.
They're scarred forever.
Who knows if that school is even going to, you know, maybe they'll even shut the doors and build a new one, because I think that's probably how tough it is for people. I think it's Sandy Hook. They completely shut the school down and built a new one. So anyways, I mean, it's scarred. I guess it is in the back of your mind, but you don't want in a week people to completely forget about it, right? I mean, you want some changes to be made, and for changes to be made, people have to be loud about what they care about.
No, you're right. And, you know, well, we're getting off on a tangent here, but...
Yeah, we are a little bit.
Yesterday, just driving home, I'm driving on 45 in Vernon Hills, and there was a lady with a sign all by herself on the street corner, pleading with the GOP to make changes and to look at this harder than they've had. And, it's just interesting to see that on just a random street corner in Vernon Hills, and there was a bunch of other protests around the Chicagoland area yesterday. So, you bring up a good point. Like, it can't wear off, because it's just the cycle we go through, and a week goes by, we forget about it. The government realizes when it dies down, they stop talking about it, and then it doesn't come up until something else happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you also talked to Tim Anderson today, correct?
I did, briefly, because keep in mind, Tim Anderson, first of all, he says he's really looking forward to this year. He kind of joked, he's like, look at me, I'm smiling and I'm talking to you guys, because he's very reserved, but I think it's kind of nice to just hit the reset button for him. Last year was tough. He lost his best friend Brandon Moss, who was gunned down in a parking lot in Alabama near their hometown. So he's playing with a heavy heart all year. He honored him when they had the Players Weekend and they can put whatever they want on the backs. He put B. Moss, which was a nod to his best friend. So anyways, we asked, obviously it's a little bit, it's different. It wasn't part of a mass shooting, but still, I mean, someone close to you, he's obviously was grieving throughout the entire season. So we just asked him, where he is on the matter, and any thoughts towards Anthony Rizzo, who's obviously grieving right now.
You hate to hear stories like that. It's definitely, prayers are sent from me to him, to them people there. But yeah, man, you hate to see things like that happen. And you just gotta, just keep praying every day, and just stay on the right track and stay focused.
So there you go. Aside from this matter, I think you're going to see some really good stuff from Tim Anderson this year. We saw it towards the end of last season. I think he's got his mind right. Last year was tough for him, and he was joking, but he's totally right. I've noticed it just over the past few days. He's in the batting cages with Yomer Sanchez and Avi Garcia, and they're joking, and they're just taking some reps, and he's laughing and smiling. I didn't see any of that from him last year. He was quiet. Yeah. He's reserved in the clubhouse. He didn't want to talk to the media. So I think you can expect to see some big things from TA this year.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to him at Sox Fest a couple weeks ago, and he definitely did seem different, seem more upbeat, seem rejuvenated and ready to get back to baseball. We all grieve different ways, and it's tough. And it'd just be great to see him back on the field playing at a high level. Where do you? I know it's early, but where do you envision him in the batting order?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's what I'm here for. Good White Sox questions.
That is a good White Sox question. All right, well, let's break this down. Who's your leadoff man for the White Sox? Let's run through the lineup.
Juan Pierre. Wait, wrong team. Okay.
Kenny Lofton.
Yeah. That's a tough question.
So let's run through probably what the starting lineup's going to look like on opening day. You're going to have Jose Abreu at first.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Moncada at second. Tim Anderson at short.
Yep.
Probably going to have Matt Davidson at third.
Right.
Or Tyler Saladino, one of the two. But whoever's not at third will probably be DHing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Yolmer kind of is the utility guy.
Yeah, I think Yolmer, Davidson.
He kind of earned more.
Yeah, he did. I think he's going to get a lot more reps. I think Yolmer, Davidson, and Saladino, because Saladino at this point good guy, good clubhouse guy. He's 30 already. I mean, they kind of know what he is. Right. He's a utility guy. He's probably not a long-term guy. Yomer, maybe. Maybe he is a guy that you can be your long-term utility guy. Anyways, I think those three will probably split time between third base and DHing. So let's just say Davidson starts at third. Left field, probably Nicky Delmonico. Center field's the one that's completely up for grabs right now. It's either going to be Charlie Tilson or Adam Engel. And in right field, you've got Avi Garcia. So amongst that group, is Tim Anderson your leadoff guy?
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's kind of hard to identify a clear leadoff guy. It'll probably be a committee thing.
Yeah, I think you could see Tim Anderson. I think you could see Yolmer at the leadoff spot.
Depending on who's playing third on any given day.
Right.
I kind of like the idea of Moncada batting second.
So do I. I wouldn't mind a Tim Anderson leadoff, Moncada second.
The problem with Anderson is he's not a great base stealer.
Yeah, that's okay, though. Right?
It's going to take another decade for me to get Scott Pitsenik out of my head.
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm more interested in base running skills than base stealing skills.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Does it make sense? 15 stolen bases for Tim Anderson, by the way, last year.
It's not enough.
No, it's not enough.
For a leadoff guy.
For a leadoff guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't always leading off. Okay, let's say Tim Anderson leading off, Moncada second, third, Avi? Fourth, Abreu? Fifth, Davidson?
That's fine with me. I've got no objection so far.
Sixth, Delmonico?
Delmonico.
Seventh, Castillo?
Seventh, Castillo, and then you're looking at Tilson or Engel.
At eighth, and then ninth would be...
Well, who's DHing?
Would it be Yolmer or Saladino?
Right. You know, whatever. The last three spots are
interchangeable. The last three spots. Okay, let's say Tim Anderson, Moncada, Avi, Jose, Davidson, Delmonico. Did I get that right?
I'm down.
That's the 75% of the order right there.
Cancel spring training. We got it. We got it set for opening day.
I'll submit the lineup to Ricky Renteria. Done. Easy peasy. Let's go.
I like it. Well, you are in the booth right now at Camelback, and I know exactly what you're looking at. I've been in that booth.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a field that just looks pristine right now.
It does.
It's probably sunny out. Because you're in Arizona.
It is not. The weather has not been as great as I was anticipating.
That happens sometimes early in camp, though.
Yeah, but this is my fourth straight year being out here, and the weather's been absolutely perfect this time of year. Like mid-70s, low 80s, sunny, not a cloud in sight. The past 3 days, it's been rainy, cool, and gray.
Did you bring your golf clubs?
I did not, but I'm trying to get out at some point this weekend because I may have a few extra hours since I don't have to anchor late in the afternoon, but probably going to try out to get out Sunday, at least 9 or something like that. I want to burn out here, you know? I want my pale skin to burn, Adam. I need to get my nice basin for the baseball season.
Hey.
I'm hating on this gray weather, man.
I've been known to wander out of that press box at Camelback and sit...
Oh, I've
in
done
the
it
sun.
Before. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But last night, I've the past few nights because I'm anchoring till 6 out here. Seven, you know, doing with Ro and Anna.
Sure.
And by the time I'm leaving, and you know, I stay for probably another hour after the show and finish some stuff up. There's nobody in the park. And last night, I was actually a couple nights ago. Here's a funny story for you. I was here like 2 hours after the show ended, just wrapping up stuff, posting stuff on the website. It's raining out. It's completely pitch black. There's not a soul in sight. I walk out to the gate to leave.
Into a cactus.
Every gate was locked, Adam. So I'm like, okay, ooh, I'm going to spend the night in Camelback, I guess.
How'd you get out?
So I'm wandering around. I'm like texting one of the guys that's helped me get set up here. He's been super helpful. I even texted one of the media relations White Sox guys. I was like, hey, still around, man? I'm kind of locked in Camelback. I ended up finding a gate that had sort of a dummy lock on it where it looks like it's locked, but it's not actually locked. I don't know if I should reveal that, but a lot of stadiums and ballparks have stuff like that. So anyways, thank God I was able to get out of there, because I'm like, man, you know, the press box is pretty clean. It's kind of nice, actually. Maybe I'll just post up and
sleep here tonight. This is a true thing. You're not actually a sports reporter until you've been locked in a stadium before.
Right. I know.
It's happened at least 5 times to me in NFL stadiums.
I was talking to Rick Morrissey from the Sun-Times the next morning, and I go, yeah, I thought I was going to spend the night in Camelback. He goes, they don't teach you that in journalism school, do they? I was like, you're right, man. You're right. Like, just, this is, I guess, getting locked in a ballpark is just all part of the plan.
All right, buddy. Have fun out there. We got you there next couple days, next week, right?
Yeah, I'll be here through Tuesday night. I fly back, so
awesome.
We'll check in, I'm sure. And WGNRadio.com, all sorts of pictures and videos, blogs, all that kind of good stuff. I did a profile on Michael Kopech, by the way. I don't know if it's a full profile, but it's some interesting stuff. How Michael Kopech is handling the fame, because he might be the most famous, or at least most recognizable, White Sox player already. He's never even pitched in the big leagues yet. So you can read about that and some more stuff at WGNRadio.com.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Have fun.
Thanks, man. Talk to you guys soon.
Kevin Powell out at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. We go to a different part of the desert right now. Sam Panionovich has left us at WGN just in time for his White Sox to come to WGN. He's now out in Vegas at VSiN. That's how we're saying it, Sam? VSiN?
VSiN, yeah, that's a tough act to follow, too. Press box stories from Kevin Powell, but thanks for having me, man. I miss you guys already.
We miss you. Tell me how Vegas has been so far. Definitely a little bit of, you're doing something, well, not completely different. It's still sports, but this is a different kind of genre within sports. Tell us, first of all, before we get into some of this, what you're doing at your new job.
Right, so it's pretty much, I've been telling people it's like sportsbook radio. It's Vegas sports. It's math. There's a lot of lines and odds and trends and matchups. So we pretty much line all the games, and we talk about why the lines are a certain way. We're not touts. We're not giving our 5 million star lock of the year. We're just trying to educate, inform, and also entertain. So we've got numbers. We've got odds. We've got White Sox odds. We've got Cubs odds. We've got Bears odds already on win totals and Super Bowl odds. We've got Black Hawks win percentages. I mean, it's just, we're pretty much analyzing how Vegas views American sports teams and what the lines mean and how we get to a number, and we're trying to pretty much educate the average bettor, which everybody wants to make a buck when you lay down on a game, and this is something, you know, I took a chance to come out here to work for Brent Musburger. He's the face of our network. It's a station that is unlike any other right now. I think it's going to burgeon over time, and that's what it is. You're right, it's VSiN. It's on XM Radio, and we also have video components on our website at VSiN.com, VSIN.com.
So I'm not going to hear you on like some random Monday before a Monday Night Football game on a commercial on a sports talk radio station. Like,
with my Pat Riley hair slicked straight back. You got to bet this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not what you guys are doing?
Not a 900 number either. No, this is all informative. It's free. If you have XM Radio, you can find us on channel 204. You can watch us online for free. We've got an app. But no, this is not a tout service. We're not selling picks for money.
All right, so let's talk a little baseball. Cubs, White Sox win totals. What do you guys got?
Well, at the South Point here, the radio station is actually inside the South Point Hotel and Casino, which is about 15 minutes south of the Strip. So the early open on the Major League Baseball win total, and what is a win total, if you don't know? A win total is a set number in Vegas, and you can either go over or you can go under. Now, the Cubs, clearly the better team, World Series championship in 2016, pretty good run last year as well before they lost to the Dodgers. The Cub win total here at the South Point opened up at 93.5. So Vegas thinks they're good for about 93-94 wins. That line has since, Adam, it's moved up to 94. I happen to think the Cubs can win 100 this year. I think they're going to actually be a really good team again. I think they are a good line to win the World Series, even at 6-1. I like that number. But the Cubs opened up 93.5 and then moved to 94. So the early sharp money is on the Cubs going over 93.5 wins.
Okay, can I ask you a quick, because I'm kind of dumb when it comes to gambling. When you guys use terms like that, sharp money, what does that mean?
That means the big money came in right away on the Cubs over. There was a limit here on these win totals, and the limit is $2,000. So when you see a line move that rapidly, when it goes from 93.5 to 94 in, say, 30 minutes or so, that means that there were probably multiple $1,000 or $2,000 bets on the over, which means the books have to account for the handle. They have to raise that win total up, because if they leave it at 93.5, that sharp money is going to keep coming in, because these guys out here in Vegas, they call them the sharps or the sharks, whatever you want. they bet numbers. They come in and they like a number. So they'll have an order from whoever tells them to come in and say, all right, we want to take the Cubs. If it's 93, 93.5, we want to take it over. And they have directives to come in and just lay down cash until they get that number. And that's what they did. So they got it in right away, 93.5, and immediately it moved to 94. That's kind of where it sits right now.
Did the Darvish signing impact that at all?
It did not. Believe it or not, it did not affect the win total one bit. It opened at 93.5. There was an online book that opened it at 93.5 as well, so there was no effect there. It did affect the future market, and when I say future market, I mean the odds to win the World Series. The Cubs were 7-1 before the Darvish signing, which is a $100 bet wins $700. Once Darvish was signed officially, they dropped that down to 6, which means now instead of getting 700, you get 600. So the Cubs right now, after the Darvish signing, didn't affect the win total, but it did move the future number from 7-1 down to 6-1.
Sam Panayotovich from VSiN joining us right now on Sports Central. How about the White Sox?
Oh, man, and I think you're in with me on this. I thought it was way too low when I saw the guys at the sportsbook open it up. They opened the win total for the White Sox this year, 66.5, which I think is a slap in the face. Last year, the Sox won 67 games, and you're a Sox guy. I'm a Sox guy. A lot of people at that station now pretending to be Sox guys. That's either here or there. But I do think that this team, and if you watched the White Sox last year, they played so hard, man. They played hard for their manager. It's a young team. There's a lot to prove. They lost so many games, one run, two runs. In the last month of the season, they were about 500. They've got a lot to prove, chips on their shoulders, and we know that some of this young talent eventually is going to cross through. We can expect Michael Kopech maybe in July. Maybe Eloy Jimenez comes up in August. I do like the roster they have now. You've got a nice little core with Moncada and Abreu and Tim Anderson. I expect him to bounce back. You got a pitch staff with some veterans there. You got James Shields. I like Carlos Rodon when he comes back. You got some young arms in there as well, but I like the way they've reshaped the bullpen. But they opened at 66.5, and I sprinted to the window, man. I was like, there's no way they're going under 66.5. It was bet up, Adam. This is maybe the biggest move of all. It moved from 66.5 right now at the South Point, 68. Wow. So it's already moved up by a win and a half.
Wow. When did these come out? Like, how long ago? A couple weeks ago?
No, these came out in Vegas on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So this has all been in the last few days. Wow, that is a sudden change. It's hard to believe that the Sox won't get to 70 this year. As I just look at it, it's that with what you just said, they played so well last year. You got to account for some of these guys coming up throughout the season. I mean, Eloy Jimenez could be worth a couple wins when it's all said and done, just by himself.
I agree. I 100% agree. And I know you're going to get a guy, maybe you see Zach Birdie in the bullpen. And he had that surgery last year, but he's scheduled to come back maybe at the midway point. Nate Jones, hopefully he can stay healthy at the back end of that bullpen. They hope they have lightning in a bottle with Soria, the former Royals closer, who used to be unhittable with Kansas City. The Sox couldn't touch him in Kansas City, but he's sort of a reclamation project now. But I really do think, I mean, you look at what the Cubs did with Ricky Renteria, you look at what the Padres did. When he had young teams, they always got better year after year after year. And I think that plays into this. Obviously, the big money came in on the over. It was not my money. I don't have that much money, but they moved it from 66.5 to 68. I think the Royals are going to be trashed this year. Detroit is going to be rebuilding. Minnesota might regress a little bit. You know, Cleveland's the class of division in the Central, but there are certainly some wins on the board. If the Sox get off to a good start, if they go maybe, you know, 500 or more in April, which has always been the problem, do they start strong or not? If they don't start strong, you'll be chasing this all year. But if they get off to a good start and guys like Avi Garcia and Abreu and Anderson and Moncada are playing well, there's no reason they can't go over 66.5. I don't think there's any reason they can't go over 68. I actually made the number 72. I think that's more of a fair number, but again, I was around this team all the time, and in Vegas, they're kind of just doing their projections, right? They simulate these games about 10,000 times, and they come up with the computerized number. They're not on the ground floor of these clubhouses. They just can't be, but they go with their intel from what they hear and what they watch, and they create metrics and algorithms. So you can find value on this win market, and I definitely think that is a little too low on the White Sox, even at 68. I mean, I think you're with me, too.
Yeah, I am. Real quick, because we're a little short on time. Bears, they got a win projection out for the Bears yet?
Very, very, very early, and a lot can change in free agency, but the win total on the Bears for 2018 is 6.5.
Ooh.
You got the Packers at 10, Vikings 9.5, Lions 8, Bears 6.5. And the Bears, by the way, to win the Super Bowl, 100-1. 100-1.
I'll tell you what, man. If I was just to, like, throw a random dollar, like, $20 on some team just to try to get the craziest odds, why not the Bears?
They have the third lowest odds, but Adam, a $20 bet would win you $2,000 if the Bears.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. But you saw what happened with the Eagles this year. Bears have a playoff caliber defense. If Trubisky turns out to be what he might, could Joe Romano is laughing at me right now. All right, Sam. Appreciate you coming on the show today. Check it out. It's VSiN, and you guys are doing some cool stuff out there. So, and congrats on the new job.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, Sam Panionovic out there in Las Vegas. What, you think I'm crazy? A waste of $20? Joe's laughing at me. Probably is. All right, let's we kind of teased the Rizzo speech from last night. We played a tiny snippet of it with Kevin Powell a little bit earlier on, and we do want to play the entire thing for you. So Anthony Rizzo left Mesa, Arizona, after the shooting in Parkland, Florida, which was at his old high school where he went. They had a big emotional vigil last night out there. Anthony Rizzo gave a speech. This is what he had to say.
Come home to Parkland, which should be everybody's first concern. And that's showing our kids out there, the students of Stoneman Douglas and Broward County and all over the country, and that we care about their lives and about their future. I've been very impressed with talking to the students and how they're taking care of each other and how they're coming together. And I'm so grateful to the teachers, the coaches, the administration, and all the first responders who tried to protect them. I am only who I am because of this community. And I just want all of you to know how proud I am to be part of this community. I want you to know that you're not alone in your grief. We're all grieving with you. The entire country is grieving with you. So whatever comfort I can give, I will give. Whatever support I can offer to our students, teachers, coaches and families, and first responders, you'll have it. I went to Stoneman Douglas. I grew up in Stoneman Douglas. I played on those fields. I went to those classes. I studied in those classrooms. The same school we saw in videos yesterday for all the wrong reasons. We see this on TV too often. I feel like it's all the time. It is. There's a cycle to it. We get horrified that this violence is inflicted in our kids. We get angry that there's nothing we can do and nothing's done about it. And then we ultimately get immune and move on to something else. But then it happens in our own town, in your own school, or the movie theater, or a nightclub, or a church. And we realize it could happen to us and our safe and tight-knit community, Parkland. In fact, there are a lot of communities out there that know exactly what we're going through right now and have to relive these moments again and again. Look, I'm a baseball player, but I'm also an American. I'm a Floridian, and I'm a Parklander for life. And while I don't have all the answers, I know that something has to change before this is visited on another community and another community and another community. But I will make one plea to all the teachers and coaches and parents, and especially the students of Parkland. This just happened yesterday. And I promise you, we're going to be mourning, grieving, and a bit broken for a while. We're human. Maybe a long while. But I promise the cameras are going to move on. The demands of everyday life won't shoot again. Classes will start again. The seasons are going to change, and the sun is going to rise. And all we'll have left is each other. We don't know who's hiding their sadness or feelings of guilt and loneliness, or who needs help and is too proud or afraid to ask. So we have to be there for each other. We have to cope with our pain, and we have to live each other's pain. We have to be the best possible versions of ourselves. Teachers need to be there for all the students in the most critical times right now. Parents and kids, you need to be there for your teachers because they love you so much and unconditionally, and you'll never, ever understand it. Nor will I, nor will any of us. If I could stand up here and speak for love and kindness and compassion, then I think we should all be able to do that as one. Thank you all. God bless, and I love you.
Anthony Rizzo has done some amazing stuff for the Chicago Cubs. That's my favorite Anthony Rizzo moment. That right there.
You know, we've had a bit of a love fest here for our Sox these last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Rizzo is by far my favorite player in this city. He that speech gave me goosebumps, and that's the kind of guy Anthony is. With the stuff he's done at hospitals in the area, and you know, just
the stuff he's doing at Lurie Children's, the money he has donated. I've unfortunately spent way too much time at Lurie the last 3.5 years with what's been going on with my son, but it is a very emotional place. It's a very uplifting place with all the sadness that is within the walls of that building. There's also it's inspiring, and when you see players like Anthony Rizzo come in there as often as he does. The Northwestern players, the Northwestern football team goes there every Friday before home games. Stuff like that. It is awesome. I love that. And honestly, I should be doing more in that regard too, because every time I go in there and you're like, oh, I got to deal with parking and another appointment for James and all this, and you walk in, you realize there's a lot of kids in way worse shape that need a lot more help. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that with Anthony Rizzo. You know, we talked about the guns yesterday on the show. Thank you for those that have reached out with your responses, especially those that are measured and willing to listen to other people's opinions. I just wanted to add this because regardless of the guns and the conversations about gun control, there's been a lot of talk like, oh, well, whatever we do doesn't matter. Nothing's going to change. And I understand that feeling. But separate from the guns, I tweeted this morning. I'm just going to read it to you. Because it's something we all can do. Everybody can do this. Love your kids. Support them. Raise them the right way. It is our most important job on this planet. I really believe that. And even if you don't have kids, because I know everybody listening might not have kids, you probably have a nephew, a niece, a cousin, or a family friend that has kids. You can have a positive impact on their life with love. Because this is a scary world right now. It's a scary country right now. We have a lot of flaws. And it's frightening to raise a kid right now with all this stuff going on. And it is so important that our kids know that they are loved. So please, that is something you can do. All right. Now, the king of awkward transitions. Let's end the show with some buried headlines. Spread some love this weekend. Have some fun this weekend. I've been stressed out the last 48 hours. This stuff really is emotional. And it's definitely affected me more since James was born. It's funny, man, having a kid. All right. Last night, my Wisconsin Badgers beat Purdue. Really cool night. Frank Kaminsky was there. They honored Frank Kaminsky. They raised his number. Jason Benetti was doing play-by-play. Jason's going to be a friend of the station, I'm sure, going forward with our White Sox connection. Play-by-play guy for the White Sox. Looking forward to spending more time with him this season. Frank's a huge Sox fan. Notorious Cubs hater.
Also went to Bennett, just like the coach at the beginning of the show.
Porter Moser. Frank Kaminsky. Bennett Academy. Jason Benetti. I guess the White Sox sent Jason with a 83 retro Frank Kaminsky jersey. And when he was doing the interview in the middle of that game, Jason gave it to him. So that was a cool White Sox connection.
Did you watch the game?
I watched the game, and I have a problem. Great win for Wisconsin. It's been a tough season. I'm not used to this. They finished in the top four of the Big Ten every single year since I was a freshman there in 2004. It's been weird. They're 12-16. I don't know how to handle it. Apparently the students there don't know how to handle it either. I had a big problem with them storming the court.
Ooh, you're anti-storming the court, huh?
In general, I'm not a... First of all, let me be clear. I like to have fun with this. I think it's a fun topic to talk about. Like,
yeah,
I'm not like, the police here to tell you, don't have fun.
Yeah,
I think it's a fun topic, like, to justify what's storm court worthy.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's cool. And I'm sorry. Wisconsin beating Purdue at home is not noteworthy enough to storm the court. I don't care. Just because Wisconsin's bad. Like, to me, that's just like insulting your own program.
Yeah.
Oh, we're bad now this year, so we storm the court and beat Purdue. Something about that feels wrong to me. Like, we should beat Purdue every year.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I was going to say. These kids, who knows how bad Wisconsin will be for however long, but, you know, maybe there's some seniors up in the crowd there that are like, this is my only chance to storm the court because they never... So what is court storm worthy for Wisconsin if not beating a top 10 rival?
And that's where I understand this, because they stormed the court in 2009 when they beat Duke, and Duke was number 6, too, I think, at that time. And I was at that game. And that felt right, though. But it was Duke, and you're not used to beating Duke, and it was an upset, even though Wisconsin was good. They stormed the court when I think they beat Penn State, but it was to win the Big Ten. Like, for a program that's good, like a good, really good basketball program, 19 straight NCAA tournaments, 4 straight Sweet 16s, 3 Final Fours in the last 19 years. The standards are different. So Penn State beat Ohio State last night, and someone tweeted at me, "Oh, I assume you have the same rule for Penn State." No, I don't have the same rule for Penn State. Penn State sucks.
They're garbage.
They beat Ohio State. Sure, go storm the court.
They beat anybody. Go storm the court.
I said, yeah, I tweeted back, I'll hold them to the same standard when they go to 19 straight NCAA tournaments. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation. Like you said, I think it's worth having no matter what. I think what gets lost is that it's a different group every year.
Yeah. You
know, students churn out, and if it was the same, you know, Madison Knights or whatever you guys are up there, you know, if it was just random fans that are always Wisconsin fans, but like, this is a new group of freshmen through seniors, so you don't know exactly who...
That's fair.
Yeah.
And like, I was an out-of-state guy that wasn't really a Wisconsin fan before I got there, and I'm sure there's plenty of freshmen there that were at the game last night that were like that. They don't really have any connection whatsoever to the last 19 years. Their Badger world is 12-16 and a mostly bad team this year that's been hard to watch. So, all right. Let's see, what else I got here? Real quick, Rusty Jones, we brought up his name earlier this week because the Bears made their hires for strength and conditioning coach. Rusty Jones retired, and the Bears have had problems ever since. Apparently, he's coming out of retirement to join the Indianapolis Colts as director of sports performance. The connection there being Chris Ballard, who used to work with the Bears. Chris Ballard's the Colts general manager. Finally, want to do this on Fridays going forward, but just what's going on this weekend. I'm checking out the Saturday Night Live Museum tomorrow.
Awesome.
I'm really excited about it. I'd love to find some way to do, because we've done some shows over there. WGN's done some shows over there. I'd love to do something sports related over there. So scout it out. And then if you've caught the curling bug, I'm not going to do a show without mentioning the word curling, Joe. But if you caught the curling bug, the Chicago Curling Club up in Northbrook is having an Olympic open house tomorrow. And I won't be there because I got some family things going on tomorrow night. But for $20, so I want to see you out there. $20 gets you an abbreviated lesson, a beer, and you can watch the curling in the club. But you actually can get on the ice and try it. So if you've watching the Olympics and you're, you know, hey, I want to see what that's like, $20.
Andre Darlis is going.
Tomorrow?
I think she said something about Sunday. She's doing it for WGN TV.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't... Yeah, it's pretty hard. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to plug this or not, but I will. But sources tell me Pat Tomasulo was up at the curling club earlier this week.
Ooh.
And he's got that, you know, his new...
He does have that show on WGN TV.
His new show, Saturday night, 10 p.m.
Man of the People.
I imagine Pat Tomasulo and curling will be funny. So check that out on WGN TV tomorrow night. All right, we got to get out of here. I hope everybody has a great weekend. It's been a fun week of shows. So excited about the White Sox. And we're going to have some more news on stuff and station plans with the White Sox coming up next week. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, the first game's a week from today. A week from right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that 2 o'clock first pitch?
Yep, 2:05 Central Time first pitch.
So we'll be leading into the game, kind of.
Yeah.
So next Friday, consider this your pregame show, I guess. All right, what did we screw up today?
It was a perfect show, actually.
Whoa! It only took us 3 weeks.
Also, I wasn't keeping track, so...
Oh, fair enough. So that's our mistake of the show.
Yep, big mistake from your old pal Joe.
Fair enough. Thanks for Porter Moser joining us. He was fun to talk to. Kevin Powell out at Camelback Ranch, Sam Panionovich at VSIN. Amazing speech from Anthony Rizzo. Fun show, fun week. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday.